Last week, we started a new series entitled Little Letters of the New Testament, looking at some of those short one-chapter letters that we find in the New Testament, ones like 2 John and 3 John, Jude and Philemon. And we're going to be exploring these letters over the course of the year, just scattered throughout other sermons and other series. But last week I started with the letter of 2 John. Tonight we have the letter of 3 John. But even though these letters are short, tonight's letter is only 14 verses long, there are still some incredible truths to be found within these words. Incredible truths to be found within this short letter, encouraging us, building us up, but also challenging us as we engage. And so tonight, as I said, we're going to be unpacking the letter of 3 John. And so just to start off with, let's get a little bit of background about this letter. The first thing is the author of this letter is most likely the Apostle John. If it's not the Apostle John, it is another John who was following Jesus. This letter is most likely written by the same author as 1 John and 3 John, or 2 John, as well as the Gospel of John. The language is the same and similar. It's pretty much convinced that it's the same author all the way through. And that's most likely the Apostle John. And the date that it was written is around 85 to 90 AD. That's more than 50 years after Jesus ascended. For 50 years, the church has been learning how to do church, how to share the gospel without Jesus right there in person. For 50 years, they have been engaging in this, but this is a time of massive transition. You see, 50 years is a long time, and many of those believers who saw Jesus in the flesh have passed away. Many of those believers are no longer with the church, and so it's up to that next generation, those who have heard the stories, heard the teachings from others, to continue the church and continue sharing the good news. And so at this time, there are lots of traveling teachers going from church to church, sharing the good news. And as we heard about last week in the letter of 2 John, some of those teachers are deceptive. Some of those teachers are false teachers seeking to draw people away and to deceive people from the truth of who Jesus is, but there are also many good teachers. And then the recipient. We see in verse 1 up there, this is written to my dear friend Gaius. Where the letter of 1 John is written to a whole bunch of different churches, and 2 John is written to a specific church, here we have a letter written to an individual. But an individual who is part of a church that their congregation seems to be having some challenges at the moment. But Gaius is well known to John. There seems to be a history between them, but more than that, John is getting regular updates about Gaius, hearing stories of his hospitality. And as we see in verse 14 as well, I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. John's wanting the fact that he sent this letter to be known. He's wanting this to be shared with other believers because he's wanting Gaius to go and greet the fellow believers by name. I want you to tell them that John is sending his greetings to you. And they're going to ask why. There is a desire for this letter to be shared with them. And all three of the John letters are written into this time of lots of teachers going around from church to church, and they're dealing with how do we deal with this issue of true and false teachers. 1 John is a much longer letter dealing with it in detail, but 2 and 3 John deal with specific ideas. 2 John, as I unpacked last week, is a letter about an outside threat. Beware the deceivers who seek to come and lead you astray, lead you away from Jesus. But 3 John is a little bit different. It warns against an inside threat. The letter of 3 John is warning against those who are in the church who seek to cause division. And John's writing this letter to ask the question, what will you build? Are you going to build community? Are you going to welcome people in? Are you going to help people belong? Or are you going to build division? To build walls to cut us off from the people around us? Are you going to seek to divide us from the other churches, from the people who want to do things differently? And as John writes this letter, he gives us the examples of two separate people. One is Gaius, somebody who welcomes people in, who shows hospitality, the one to whom this letter is written. But the other example is to Diotrephes, who is a member or a leader of the church, we don't know exactly, but someone who is seeking to sow mistrust and division amongst the church. And as John writes this letter, he invites us to consider the question, which one of these examples do you want to imitate? He asks us in verse 11, he tells us, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He's encouraging us to consider this question of what do we want to build in the church? Community and welcome and trust, or division and mistrust? And that same question that was put to the church in the late first century is still so applicable for us as a church today. What are we going to build? What are we seeking to imitate and copy? And so let's jump into this letter, starting with verses 1 to 4. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. What a beautiful prayer he prays for his friend at the start. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. How often do we pray for people's physical needs as well as their souls? I love the way that John is caring for the entirety of Gaius. And yet John is also speaking against those Gnostic truths in that as well. Last week I unpacked that the Gnostic teachers were bringing a whole bunch of different beliefs, but there were two main ones. And one of them is the idea that we are both physical and spiritual, but that the spirit is good, but the physical body, the world, and everything that is made is bad. And yet here in this prayer for his friend, John is cutting that right out. He's saying God has made both the physical and the spiritual, and I want both of them to go well in you. I want to pray for both those things because both those parts of you matter. And then as you look through these four verses, there four times John speaks about the truth. Again, reflecting what he was speaking about in the second John letter. The fact that the truth of Jesus is what anchors us. The truth of Jesus is what unites us. The truth of Jesus is what we sit in. And so he reminds us of those things right at the start. But he also introduces us to Gaius, the one who builds trust and community. In verse 3 it says, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. John has been listening for stories about Gaius. He has been listening to hear what is going on with his friend, and through the grapevine of the church, he's heard stories, good stories. He's heard of his faithfulness. He's heard of the good things that he is doing, and it has encouraged him. In fact, more than just encouraged him, it has given him great joy. And I love the way that God works. Because in preparing for this message, just a week or so ago, I had a message from my previous church. And there was a small group that I used to run during service time for grade 7 and 8s. That unfortunately there wasn't anybody to run it when I left. But I had a message from somebody at that church saying that they are starting that group up again. And two of the young people that I started that group for are going to be leaders in it. And I can't describe the great joy that I had when I read that message. The way that my heart was encouraged as I heard stories that they are walking in faithfulness. There is something powerful and encouraging about hearing these stories, of hearing of people that you know walking in faith, of what God is doing in those things. And so I can relate to John. But these stories speak to the fact that Gaius is building relationships with others, that these stories are actually able to get back to John where they are, that it's coming through the connections of the church. And it continues in verses 5 to 8. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. John's now unpacking a little bit more about who Gaius is. The example of faith that he is setting. And he points out that he is showing hospitality even to strangers. Even to the people that Gaius does not know, even to the people that he has no connection to, he is showing them hospitality. He is being faithful to them. He is welcoming them in. He's inviting them into his home. He's inviting them into his relationships and his friend groups. He's inviting them into the church. And John uses that term, brothers and sisters, as a reminder for us. Even though you may not know these people, we are part of the same family. Even though you may not know them, even though they are strangers to you, we belong together in Christ. And Gaius understands this. He shows them hospitality. He welcomes them in. Because Gaius understands that we are one family that is united in Christ. And this is a beautiful counterpoint to the book of 2 John. Because in 2 John, there is that passage that talks about if people don't bring the teaching, if they are false teachers, do not show hospitality to them at all. And this is a balance to it. Gaius knows that there are false teachers. Gaius knows that there are people who are seeking to deceive and lead us away from Christ. But he also knows that there are brothers and sisters that he does not know who are faithfully serving God. And he chooses to invite them in, to show them hospitality. He doesn't let fear of those false teachers let him keep them at a distance. He welcomes them in. He shows them hospitality. And John speaks about how these people are traveling around for the sake of the name. And even the pagans are not supporting them. Why would they? Why would the government support people who want to travel around teaching about Jesus? It's for the church, for the family, to support those who are seeking to teach about who Jesus is. And so he welcomes them in. He supports them. He shows them hospitality. And I want to just say, this is something that I have had said many times in my time here in Alice. But I believe that this church does this well. This is a beautiful, wonderful church for welcoming people in. This is a beautiful church for providing welcome, for building connections, for helping people to feel like they belong in a place where people are transient, in a place where people come and people go. I have found people here who, like Gaius, understand that we are one family united in Christ, who welcome people in, who help them belong, who give those connections. But even more than just this church, again, I think God's providence that the youth camp happened last weekend. What a beautiful example of this for the wider church. Of the churches of Alice Springs getting together to put on a camp, focusing on who Jesus is, focusing on the things that unite us, building that sense of family united in Christ. Not the differences, but Jesus, the one who unites. This is what we see in the wider church in Alice Springs as well. We are all working for the same kingdom. We are all part of the same family. It is the example of Gaius. But John unpacks two examples in this letter. And in verses 8 or 9 to 10, we see the next example. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. In just two verses, John unpacks the complete and utter opposite of Gaius. In fact, he barely wastes a word. You can see that most of it is highlighted. I was tempted to just select it all and make it all orange to highlight it. But here we get the example of Diotrephes, the one who sows division and mistrust. Verse 9 describes Diotrephes, who loves to be first, and says that he will not welcome us. Remember, this is the Apostle John writing this letter. The Apostle John, one of the last people in the church who saw Jesus face to face, who had conversations with him. And Diotrephes refuses to welcome him. Can you imagine the pride that is involved in that? And then in verse 10, it talks about spreading malicious nonsense. To share gossip. But not just any gossip. This is made up gossip designed to destroy and slander. Where Gaius was somebody who people in the wider church spoke of his faithfulness, his generosity. Here, Diotrephes is spreading lies and division and dissension. And you could look at some of this language and you could kind of go, well, maybe there's a bit of a personal feud going on between John and Diotrephes, except later on in verse 10, it says, not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. This is somebody trying to cut the church off. This is somebody who is refusing to acknowledge that there is something bigger than themselves out there, and they want to just focus on what is there in front of them. And at the end, he also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. If somebody disagrees, if somebody speaks up, he is going to put them out of the church. He cuts off any opportunity for them to say anything in response. In every single way that Gaius was building trust and community and welcoming people in, Diotrephes is destroying it. Absolutely. And he's going above and beyond because he misses the bigger picture. Diotrephes misses that we belong to something bigger than what we just see in front of us. He misses that we belong to something bigger and greater. And it makes me wonder, are we missing the bigger picture at times? Because this division might look like what Diotrephes does. Or it could also look like a lot of other things. Maybe this division looks like somebody so focused on making sure that they don't allow false teaching or heresy to enter into a space that is all they are able to see, that is all they are able to focus on. I don't know if you've ever met somebody who you mentioned, maybe you've watched a sermon by a famous person and you see the person go straight to their phone. And they're typing in the preacher's name followed by heresy. I can tell you, if you type that into Google, you'll find it for anyone. And as soon as my blog posts are finished, you'll see it about Gavin as well. But in reality, if we type in somebody's name and heresy, we are going to see somebody who disagrees. We are going to see somebody who is making an argument against it. If we are so worried and concerned and fearful of false teaching and heresy, we will see it everywhere. And we will miss the other things. And it will cause us to create divisions. It will cause us to wall ourselves off from the other aspects of the wider church, from the wider community that is there. Or maybe it looks like you don't connect well with another denomination. Maybe you've gone to a couple of services with a denomination that's a bit more traditional or a bit more liturgical, and it just didn't sit right with you. But then you go somewhere else. You go, yeah, this is what church is meant to be. And all of a sudden you start to do an us and them. You start to see and think that we know how to worship Jesus better than they do. And we forget that their hearts are still trying to worship Jesus and their hearts are worshiping Jesus. It just looks a little bit different. It's division and it's mistrust. Maybe it's something in a personal relationship. Have you ever had those moments where you catch yourself realizing that there's just something about somebody else that frustrates you? And there's that root of bitterness that's starting to grow in your heart that you need to just invite Jesus in. God, soften my heart towards this person. Don't let me build up a hard heart towards them. Don't let me cut them off or divide myself from them. Or maybe it's worship music. How should we worship? What songs should we sing? How should we sing? Should we sing? These questions can all lead to division if we're not careful. Because these questions cause us to miss the bigger picture. It may not be somebody who is textbook abusive like Diotrephes is in this letter, but they are things that cause us to miss that we are part of a family in Christ, connected with all the other believers all around the world today and in the generations that have already been. And so John finishes with verses 11 to 14. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. John finishes this letter in verse 13. I have much to write you, but I don't want to do so with pen and ink. I want to talk to you about it in person. There is something about this that was so important that even though there were lots of things that John wanted to say, he was going to wait till he saw them in person, but this couldn't wait. And he says there in verses 11 and 12, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. John's inviting us to think about what are we going to imitate? Who are we going to copy as we continue on? Are we going to follow the example of Gaius, the one who built community, the one who built trust, the one who welcomed strangers in? Or are we going to copy Diotrephes, the one who sowed division, mistrust, who cut people off, who separated us from the wider church? And you know, this is not just an abstract question to think about. This is not just a question that is going to reflect onto maybe a month down the track or maybe a one situation in the future. Because John here in verse 12 speaks of Demetrius, probably a traveling teacher, quite possibly the guy who has hand-delivered the letter, given the way that the early church worked. Could you imagine the awkwardness of waiting there as you hand the letter over and they're reading this? And there's a question, what are they going to do? Are they going to imitate what is good or what is evil? This is not an abstract question. This is a question that has real implications right then and there for Gaius and for the church. And it's the same for us tonight. We have to ask ourselves the question, what are we going to build? Community or division? Are we going to choose to welcome people in who we haven't met? Are we going to choose to build relationships with those who maybe they're not new, but we just haven't had much of a conversation with them? We haven't got to know them well. But are we going to welcome them in? Are we going to build relationship? Are we going to build connections with them? Are we going to build community and trust? Or are we just going to ignore them and hope that they don't stay because we like our little group here? Are we going to check the way that we talk? Is it malicious gossip? Are we turning it into us and them? Or are we welcoming and building the family of Christ, united? This is not an abstract question. Who knows when we will meet strangers to show hospitality to? Who knows when we will meet someone who is a brother or sister that we just don't know yet? Need to welcome them in. So what will you build? Community or division? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Scripture. Lord, we thank you for the truths that are contained within. And Lord, I thank you for these short letters that we find. That though they may not be long, there are beautiful truths and important truths and challenging questions within them. And Lord, I thank you for these words of John that we've unpacked tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help open our eyes to see those ways, to see those times when we can build trust and community. That we can choose to see that we belong to the bigger family of Christ. Lord, help us to see those opportunities and help us to have the courage to take them. But at the same time, Lord, help us to see those ways and those times that we may be causing division, that we may be imitating what is evil. God, open up our eyes to those moments and help us to shift our thinking. Help us to soften our hearts and to choose community. Lord, may this not be an abstract thing, but Lord, may you open our eyes now to see the opportunities you have before us. Lord, these things we pray in your name. Amen.